In May of 2017, Brooke Schuyler Richardson was 18 years old, a senior in high school.
Schuyler was a gentle, loving, kind individual who had problems, would not hurt an insect, let alone being mean to a human being.
But the teenager was hiding something, a secret that wouldn't stay hidden for long.
As I was driving up there, I thought there might be some other explanation or probably something happened other than there was truly going to be the remains of a newborn infant in the backyard of the residence.
This week on Killer Cases.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today because the defendant, Brooke Richardson, murdered a baby that she didn't want and never intended to keep.
She did give birth to a newborn infant. She caused the death of that infant. She subsequently burned the infant.
They were on a one-way track to get her to confess so they could take her to jail.
Are you going to put me in jail because of that?
People were ready to convict. There was false information everywhere. It was ugly.
She was determined to keep her secret.
For Vault Studios at the Law and Crime Network, I'm Brian Ross. This is Killer Cases, the podcast. Carlisle, Ohio. This is where 18-year-old Schuyler Richardson lived with her brother and her parents, Scott and Kim Richardson.
Small town USA. It's a pretty tight-knit community.
Carlisle is in the southwest corner of Ohio. It's a town of subdivisions. A lot of people that grow up in Carlisle don't leave.
A little bit of rural on the outskirts and not really large.
Kim and Scott say their daughter was an active and positive teenager.
She's a great student, National Junior Honor Society. She started doing competitive cheer outside of the school. It's what she really enjoyed. She's just
a peacemaker.
Yeah, peacemaker.
By all appearances, she was happy-go-lucky.
But appearances can be deceiving.
Her eating disorder defines her.
We had taken her to several different places. We tried several different things. It was extremely frustrating.
She did not develop at all, mentally or physically. She stayed frozen in that 12-year-old body.
In May of 2017, Schuyler seemed to have friends at school and was dating. Most recently, a boy named Brandon.
In the spring, I noticed that they were getting very close, and that's when I had encouraged her to get on the pill. That's when I made her appointment for her to go to the doctor. I went with her. I sat in the lobby. She went back by herself. When she came out, I could tell that she had been crying, but I wouldn't say that she was horribly shaking or upset. I could just tell that she'd been crying. She kept everything a secret. She always has.
It turns out she was 8 months pregnant, just weeks away from giving birth. Charles Ripkers would eventually represent Schuyler as her attorney.
Schuyler did not want to have to deal with her mother's wrath during her pregnancy and thought that she could get through school and then tell her mom that she was pregnant and then have a normal delivery process.
And her high school senior prom was just 9 days away.
We always go out to a little shop in Columbus. They have a great selection of dresses. She knew she wanted red. She hadn't had a red one before.
But Schuyler's mom was worried she might not fit in the dress and sent text messages telling her daughter to, quote, watch what you're eating.
I always get stressed out because if her hair's not right, you know, with girls, they've got hair, nails, makeup, the whole thing. She wasn't exactly happy with herself, but she never is.
Prom night that year was a disaster. Schuyler was in pain because she was getting close to delivering her child. But she decided to go ahead with her plans anyway, keeping her secret from everyone around her. And then the next night, back at home, Schuyler made a decision that would change her life forever. With her family sleeping, Schuyler delivered a baby girl in the bathroom. She would later say that the baby wasn't breathing and didn't have a heartbeat.
I have no doubt it was a stillborn. There's no way that we wouldn't have heard or the dogs wouldn't have reacted or something.
Schuyler took the baby to the garage, grabbed a garden trowel, and then buried the remains in the backyard.
It was very, very hard knowing that she had her own private funeral for Annabelle in the backyard.
But before doing that, she named her daughter Annabelle.
And she tells no one, not her mom, not her brother, who's her best friend, not any of her girlfriends, certainly not her father. Nobody knows about this.
Skylar would later send a text and a photo to her mother from the gym. She wrote, "My belly is back." She sent another one to her boyfriend, Brandon, saying she's so happy without explaining why. And still, no one knew about her secret and her baby, Annabelle. 2 months after burying baby Annabelle in her backyard, Skylar returned to the doctor's office for more birth control pills, where, of course, she was asked what happened to the baby. John Fain is now retired, but at the time, he was a detective with the Warren County Sheriff's Office.
Skylar Richardson had gone there for a follow-up appointment and told the doctors while she was there that she had delivered a baby that was not breathing and that she had subsequently buried her in the residence of her backyard.
The Warren County Sheriff's Office was called in to investigate.
You can have a seat right there on the other side, and we'll come in just a couple minutes, okay?
Skylar's father brought her to the police station for questioning by Detectives John Fain and Katie Gee.
I said, "Can I be in there with her?" He said, "No, she's 18. We have to talk to her alone." I said, "Does she need an attorney?" "Oh, absolutely not. She's not in any trouble." Naively thinking that, why would a police officer lie to us?
Detective Fain begins by giving Skylar her Miranda rights.
"Can you read this part out loud for me? That last paragraph.
I have read the statement of my rights and I fully understand what my rights are. I do not want a lawyer at this time and am willing to speak with law enforcement officers."
"If you're okay, then just sign right there." "There's no way other than just to come out and say it, okay? We got a call from the doctor's office."
Now, Skylar knows her secret is out.
"My parents are going to kill me. I didn't like want to tell them. I didn't like want to tell them at all. I still don't really want to tell them, but now they're going to know."
Without prompting, she says she did not harm her baby, something she'll repeat more than a dozen times.
We're not saying anything like that. That's not why you're here today. We're not saying that. Did you say her? Okay, it was a girl. What do you do then?"
"I stayed there with her for a little bit. I tried to see if maybe she'd wake up, but I had to bury her. And I think that's, am I going to be in trouble for that? I know it wasn't right.
For trying to see if she could
breathe and
breathe
to bury her."
"Why do you decide you have to bury her?"
"I couldn't tell anybody."
"Because you hadn't told anybody and you still didn't want to tell anybody?"
"Yeah, it was really bad. I didn't.
It's not for us to say.
Are you going to put me in jail because of that?"
"No, I'm not. That's not why I'm here today, to try to put you in jail. We're still just trying to find out what happened, okay? Did you know where you would bury her?"
"I just wanted to bury her in my backyard so we could put flowers on her."
"Okay."
While this interview is taking place, Skylar's parents don't know what's being said.
At this point, had no idea what was going on.
In just a minute, I've got to step out just real quick and phone call back.
"Oh, honey, you're just take a deep breath, okay? I'm going to stay in here with you, okay?"
Detective Vane finally comes out and tells us sort of a synopsis of what happens. We're in shock.
"I just checked out. I couldn't feel my body. I have very little memory of what transpired."
"Just be honest, what's going to happen?"
"I don't know, okay? I'm in here observing. No. You're not going to jail today. No.
"No, I'm not going to.
Just relax, okay? Listen. Just relax, okay?
I don't want to go to jail.
I know you don't. Just relax,
I don't
okay?
have to go to jail, don't worry.
Listen, I understand that you're sorry, and I understand that you're upset, and I understand that you didn't want this to happen, okay? Just take some deep breaths, okay? Things will be okay.
I don't have to go to jail.
You're not going to jail. Okay? We're not taking you to jail today. You're not going to jail, okay? So just,
what's the worst that's going to happen?"
"Honey, I don't know. This isn't my case, okay? He's talking. He just wants to get some things straightened up so that we can figure out exactly what happened. Are you being 100% honest with him?" "Okay."
Scott and Kim Richardson then go into the interview room, alone with their daughter, Skylar.
He says you can go back and talk to her. Doesn't tell us that we're on camera being recorded.
Kids get pregnant every day. Pregnancy is not the end of the world.
I'm so sorry.
What did they tell you?
I think they want to know if I killed it myself.
Yeah, you go to jail.
I didn't, though.
Can you imagine the absolute horror that we just went through not knowing what's going on?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, we can't fix this. There's nothing.
If you go to jail, it's in the papers. It's everywhere. The neighbors have already called me, and I know she was telling me that they're digging up stuff in her backyard. You're going to be on the news.
Oh, please, support me. I didn't.
Skylar, I am supportive, but I'm just saying.
I call you guys.
Honey, that is wrong.
I know, but I didn't kill her.
If they do an autopsy on the baby and they find out that it was living at the time of birth, then you will go to jail.
I know, I will.
The Richardson's backyard soon became a crime scene.
It was a nightmare. They had drones over our house.
The news people camped out all night.
Detective Fain obtained a search warrant to dig up the infant's remains, which had been buried in the ground for 9 weeks.
It was a lengthy process, but we had recovered all the remains. So the coroner's office had had time also to conduct an examination of the remains of what they had left.
Following that examination, the county coroner reported to the detectives that a forensic anthropologist observed charring on Annabelle's bones, suggesting a more sinister motive.
I said, how certain is she? He said she is absolutely and 100% certain that these bones were burned.
It was a turning point in the case. Skylar was brought back in for another round of questioning.
I was told it was only going to be a few minutes. Kim and I are sitting outside.
Detective Brandy Carter joined Detective Fain for the session.
And I'm just going to be honest. I don't know how to say it any other way than we know there was more that happened, okay, than what you and I talked about the other day.
Skylar's lawyers, Charles Richters, would later question how the interview was conducted.
Skylar holds the hand of the female officers in the room. She did not have a lawyer. Her mom and dad weren't present. And she frankly thought that the police were there to help her.
And under questioning, Skylar finally admits to something she had repeatedly denied before.
You knew I didn't get the truth, and you still had to carry that weight with you.
I'm so sorry.
Is it possible that she maybe breathed a little bit, like maybe, you know, before?
Maybe. Okay.
Do you feel like she was breathing when you were holding her and you held her too tight? I know. It's okay. It's okay. You can't. It's okay. You were trying.
I think that might kill her.
Okay.
When she just interjects out of the blue, I think I might have killed her. I squeezed her too tight. Detective Carter and I were a little bit taken back by that, because we hadn't asked her that, but she just offered that up on her own. What's going through my head right at that moment is that she admitted to killing her baby.
I'm so hard. I did lay that so hard. That just like, I just wanted to go.
Maybe that's when she died.
It seemed now like I was speaking with someone who had done the crime that we were there for and was guilty and knew they were guilty.
Asked if the baby made any noises, Skylar replies, maybe a little noise, like a gurgle.
Skylar had admitted to maybe accidentally killing her baby. Know at this point there's going to be an arrest that day.
But Skylar's attorney was about to raise serious questions over the tactics used in that interrogation room.
This case was a false confession.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Law & Crime. 20-year-old Brooke Skylar Richardson is facing aggravated murder, manslaughter, child endangerment, tampering with evidence, and abuse of a corpse charges in connection with the death of her baby, Annabelle.
Skylar Richardson's case sparked a news media frenzy in Carlisle, Ohio.
It took the life out of Skylar to hear those people say all those horrible things about
her that she knew wasn't true.
And as details of the case emerged, public outrage grew. Much of it focused on the allegation that Skylar Richardson had burned the remains of her baby daughter.
That's when we find out how bad this has gotten.
The burning issue is what caused the prosecutor to indict Skylar for an aggravated murder.
Again, this was something Skylar seemed to admit to doing in her second interrogation with Detectives Fain and Carter, but only after repeatedly denying anything to do with it.
It seemed to be a genuinely surprised reaction when we asked about the fire.
Are you sure?
I swear anything.
Are you sure?
That I'm sure.
Clearly, when they said something to her about burning, she had no idea what they were talking about.
Skylar was sobbing almost uncontrollably as the detectives continued to press her on the burning, a finding that the county coroner confirmed with investigators.
He met us there and we're in the hallway just outside the door, and he just wanted to make sure we were certain and clear on the information that the baby's remains had been set on fire.
So the doctors know that there was fire of some sort or some kind of burning. They know for certain.
So now that I know that I have that, I'm going to be more direct with questions about the fire. And yes, I am looking to get an admission on that part.
There's still a lot more that we don't know that we just want. You're so close. Just give us all the truth.
And I've given you all the truth I told you about squeezing.
Detective Carter says something about cremating, or did you possibly try to cremate her?
The detectives don't let up, asking Skylar for more details.
So I wonder if maybe it just was one of those things where you just thought, well, maybe I can do this. And I think like a cremation, like I'm gonna have some ashes that I can keep of my daughter and keep them.
At one point, Skylar finally said, I think I might have tried to cremate her a little bit.
But there was a problem with this tearful confession of burning the infant, as detectives would later learn.
During the time in between the arrest and this trial, Dr. Murray recanted her initial observation. She no longer saw burning.
Many months later, when she takes her time, she admits her mistake, but it was too late. The prosecutor already indicted Skylar for aggravated murder.
I remember being completely dumbfounded, because one thing about the forensic pathologists and scientists, they work in certainties. I was shocked at how that kind of mistake could be made.
Under aggressive questioning, Skylar Richardson had confessed to something that the doctor no longer said had happened.
And without Dr. Murray allegedly being so certain, we never would have done that. I thought this could blow this case for us, and at a minimum, make it an uphill battle for the prosecutors.
Yet, even with serious questions about whether Skylar Richardson had been coerced into making a false confession, prosecutors remained determined to take her to trial. The case would go to trial on September 3rd, 2019.
Case number 2017 CR 33292. We are now going to hear the opening statements. Mr. Knippen, you may proceed.
Steve Knippen, the first assistant prosecutor in Warren County, previews the state's case against Brooke Skylar Richardson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today because the defendant, Brooke Richardson, murdered a baby that she didn't want and never intended to keep. She continued to lie and conceal this pregnancy because no one was ever going to find out about the truth of her pregnancy. She didn't start prenatal care. She didn't look at baby clothes, cribs, diapers, bottles. And she didn't research how to give her child up for adoption. She did nothing.
Knippen tells the jurors they should accept Skylar's words from the interrogation as the truth.
During this interview, Brooke admitted the following: that her daughter was alive for approximately 5 minutes. She saw her daughter's arms moving a little. And just hours after putting her daughter in the ground, she documented her feelings about exactly what was going through her head at that time. I'm literally speechless with how happy I am.
We were there for every minute of it. It was very difficult to listen to and portray her in the worst possible manner. It was just horrible.
All right, Mr. Rickers, you may proceed.
Skylar's attorney, Charles Rickers, tells the jury about someone who will not be testifying at the trial, the forensic pathologist who mistakenly told police the baby's remains had been burned.
Her name is Dr. Murray, and you're not going to hear from her. They're not going to call her to the stand. Dr. Murray rushes. She admits that she rushes. She says the bones are burned. The bones are charred. This doctor, many weeks later, said I was wrong. She told the prosecutor's office I was wrong. She said, I ain't gonna lie to them and I ain't gonna lie for them. This case is about a rush to judgment. And It's all about that second interrogation. It's the whole case.
Skyler's boyfriend, Brandon, is called to the stand. Julie Kraft begins the questioning for the prosecution.
I want to direct your attention to May 7th at 10:40, 54 a.m. And would you agree that's you saying, good morning, beautiful babe?
Yes.
And she responds back, good morning, my amazing boy.
Yeah.
When she responded back, good morning, my amazing boy, at 10:42 a.m., did you know that she had just buried a baby several hours prior?
No.
And her response to you at 11:45:11 on May 7th is, I'll tell you all about it later, but last night was just like the worst ever, and I didn't go to sleep till 5:30, but I feel so much better this morning. I'm happy. Did you have any idea at that time what she was referring to when she said it was the worst night ever?
No.
At some point, you did start questioning her about who the father was. Do you recall that? And she responded back, that guy, Trey, I used to date, who I never talk about. I'm so sorry for lying and for not telling you in the first place. I am so sorry. Please forgive me eventually. I'm so sorry. At your age, it had to have been pretty hard learning everything that was going on and knowing that all of that had been kept from you.
Yeah.
But in the end, the outcome of the case would come down to the interrogation of Skyler Richardson and the testimony of the detective who led the questioning.
Sir, would you please state your name?
John Fain. Spelling of the last name is F-A-I-N-E.
Detective Fain would testify for 2 days about the interrogation, defending and explaining the techniques he used.
Sir, there were several times in that interview where you told her that you didn't believe that she purposely killed her baby. Do you remember hearing that?
Yes.
Why were you saying that?
We're at the part of the interview where I felt like and was pretty certain she was getting closer to confessing and telling us more of the truth, but just getting her to be comfortable enough to tell the truth.
But that's not how Skyler's lawyer, Charles Richter, saw it. Not at all.
Good morning.
And the focus is very tight on that second interrogation session in which Skyler confesses to giving birth to a live baby and then burning the remains.
I agree that she initially and several times denied that, yes.
And ultimately, she was broken down, and she said she tried to cremate Annabelle just a little bit, right?
Can you define broken down?
Well, do you agree that you and Detective Carter were pretending that the main purpose of your interrogation of her was to help get Annabelle's remains back to her family for a proper burial?
Would I agree that that was my main purpose?
That's what you led Skyler to believe.
I know we alluded to that. I can't say I necessarily agree that that was, we made it clear to her that that was our main purpose, but that was certainly one of the things that we hope we would be able to accomplish.
The word cremate was used multiple times by you and Detective Carter before Skyler gave you the word back. Is that correct?
Yes, the word was used by all three of us, yes.
And you and Detective Carter used that theme, cremation, multiple times before she used that word. Is that correct?
No, I guess I wouldn't say used a theme. The word was used, but I'm not sure what you mean by creating a theme. I guess I don't feel like I had a theme that I was trying to create. But yes, I will agree I used that word several times as well as Detective Carter.
After you started to talk about this supposed cremation, you talked about needing to put out this fire, correct? You remember that?
Yes, sir.
You wondered if you'd need water to put out the fire, right?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Fain, babies are 80% water, are they not?
I do not know the exact percentage, but it sounds accurate. I know at least 75.
More than adults?
Yes, sir.
But like the fire issue, you and Detective Carter refused to accept that Annabelle was dead upon delivery. Is that true?
Refused to accept that she was dead upon birth?
Yeah, you denied Skyler those statements that she'd repeatedly made 29 plus times.
We don't refuse or accept. We're there merely as investigators. And as we all saw, even her parents, who've known her for 18 years, he said they have trouble telling when she's lying or not because she does so much.
On day 7 of the trial, both sides present their closing arguments, beginning with the prosecution.
Ladies and gentlemen, shortly after murdering her daughter and placing her lifeless body in the dirt behind their home, Brooke Richardson sent two elated text messages to her mother that both contain the phrase, "My belly is back. My belly is back." Ladies and gentlemen, that belly was her child. That belly was her daughter, a daughter with fingers and toes, with hair on her head. There's only one reason that you wouldn't ask for help at that point. Only one reason you would force yourself to give birth in silence. And that's because that child was never going to see the light of day. Any mother in that situation, if they believe that their baby is in trouble, if they believe that their baby is in danger, would be begging for help. What does Brooke do? Nothing. If you want to know how she truly felt about her daughter after just putting her in the ground, what was her reaction before she was ever charged, before she ever spoke with the police, back when she thought she got away with everything, how did she feel? I'm literally speechless with how happy I am.
We were very worried that Skylar would deteriorate throughout the trial process, just the mere stress of the situation.
She would just check out.
She made it a conscious effort not to show.
That she was checked out.
Charlie, they told her, you just need to keep your head up, look straight ahead. And she did her damnedest to do it.
During his closing arguments, Skylar's lawyer, Charles Rickers, asked the jury to consider why the prosecution stuck by its story that the baby had been burned.
Why'd they do it? Why would they come in here and tell all of us that this cremation and fire should be trusted? Why'd they do it? If they knew, they know. They know it's not possible. We all know. Our common sense tells us it's not possible. Science tells us it's not possible. Because they know that if you have reason to doubt what Skylar said about cremation and burning, then you have reason to doubt the other things she said that the detectives told her to say about signs of life. Well, we know in this case the odds are actually zero that you can light a baby or a human being on fire with a lighter. It is impossible. If you have reason to doubt the burning, you have reason to doubt the signs of life.
That addressed the most serious counts, aggravated murder, involuntary manslaughter, and child endangerment. The fourth count for the jury to decide is abuse of a corpse.
And it is still a very serious felon. A conviction on that would label Skylar a felon. Women who kill their children, we've read about it, we've heard about it, throw them in dumpsters. They try to distance themselves from the body, throw them away in trash cans, like towels. Skylar named her child. She put her in a gravesite that she could see from her bedroom window and kept her close, put flowers on her grave and marked the grave. You have to fight for Skylar. And this is the hardest part of any case. And that's passing the burden of Skylar onto you. I trust you'll find her not guilty.
The jury of seven women and five men begin their deliberations just before noon.
When you're waiting for a verdict, there is no way to properly prepare anyone for that feeling. It is the most intense moment of your life.
But it doesn't take long for them to return with a verdict.
Has the jury reached a verdict in the case?
We have.
The first count is the most serious, aggravated murder.
Would the defendant please rise? With regard to count one, we, the jury in the above-captioned case, find the defendant, Brooke Skylar Richardson, not guilty of the offense of aggravated murder.
Then, involuntary manslaughter.
We, the jury in the above-captioned case, hereby find the defendant, Brooke Skylar Richardson, not guilty of the offense of involuntary manslaughter.
Third, child endangerment.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Brooke Skylar Richardson, not guilty of child endangerment. It does say we further find the defendant did not cause serious physical harm to the alleged victim, but that finding is not necessary as a matter of law.
Finally, abuse of a corpse.
Verdict form number four, we the jury in the above captioned case find the defendant, Brooke Schuyler Richardson, guilty of the offense of abuse of a corpse.
It is the least serious of the four counts against her.
She knew what she had done was wrong, but she knew she was not guilty of the other charges. She could breathe again.
If I could describe my feeling after the verdict in one word, it would be relieved. I was just so happy for Schuyler. I just can't imagine what she was going through, facing potential life in prison.
But she still faces sentencing for the abuse of a corpse charge, with the potential of up to 3 years in prison.
I think justice was served with respect to, I think our system works. The jury has a job to do. It's certainly not an easy job, especially with an 18-year-old girl facing 25 years to life in prison. The prosecution had a tough task, so I believe she got a fair trial.
The next day, facing the prospect of going to prison, Schuyler Richardson decides she will speak publicly for the first and only time.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would do anything and above that you ask, and I understand. And I just wanted to say how sorry I was. I can sometimes be selfish, but I would like to think that I've become better in the knowledge that I've upset everyone and hurt so many people with what I've done. And I'm forever sorry, and I'm so sorry. I'm really, really sorry, and I understand. And thank you.
You know, I have a daughter about your age, Ms. Richardson, and I have a granddaughter about the age that Annabelle would be right now. In all of this mess that we have with this case, I think what often gets overlooked, Ms. Richardson, is just how precious life is. Your life, Annabelle's life, life is precious, and it should be protected, and it should be guarded in all respects. And I have reviewed all of the expert reports in this case. I listened to the expert's testimony. I firmly believe, Ms. Richardson, in fact, I know in my heart that if you would have made different decisions in this case, Annabelle would be here today. And I know that might be difficult for you to hear, but I think that your choices before birth, during birth, and after show a grotesque disregard for life.
After a harsh lecture, Judge Oda delivers Schuyler's sentence.
I'm going to place you on 3 years of basic supervision, which means that you are going to be going home today.
But there's one more decision for the judge to make.
The Richardson family would like to bring closure for Annabelle and give her an eternal resting place. So we would request that you give the Richardson family Annabelle.
Mr. Richardson, do I have your word that those remains are going to be buried properly?
Absolutely, sir.
I am going to order that the remains of Annabelle be released to the Richardson family. I am going to hold Mr. Richardson to the promise that he made here today. And if he does not keep that promise, he will answer to me in that regard. Good luck to you. We are in recess.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Following the trial, Schuyler Richardson enrolled in college. She and Brandon are no longer a couple. And the remains of Annabelle Grace Richardson are buried in a cemetery a few miles away from the Richardson home. Schuyler is a regular visitor, making sure there are always fresh flowers on the grave. Killer Cases, the podcast, is a production of the Law and Crime Network and Vault Studios. You can watch Killer Cases on the A&E Network and the True Crime Network. Refer to your local programming guide for full details. Brian Weiss, John Ford, and Will Johnson are executive producers with Vault Studios. Reed Redman and Will Johnson produced and edited the podcast. Killer Cases, the television series, is written and presented by me, Brian Ross, and produced and directed by Rhonda Schwartz. Executive producers are myself, Brian Ross, and Rhonda Schwartz with Ellsworth Productions, and Rachel Stockman and Dan Abrams with Law and Crime Productions. Also thanks to producers Sam Kelly and Jennifer Tinter, and editors Danny Hilton and Nick Teodori. Killer Cases is produced in partnership with Cineflex Rights and True Crime Network.